Hello, welcome to the Safe Third Podcast. Today's a very special episode because we're all wearing hats. Yay! Isn't that cool? We switched things up a little bit.
Yeah, it feels fresh, you know? I think we really needed this.
Alan has a snake, for the audio listeners. He's got a snake wrapped around his neck. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, it's kind of my hand now. It's not just a snake. It's kind of like part of me now.
There's a slit in the snake's throat, and he's got his hands shoved deep into the snake's head.
You fully embrace the snake meta.
One of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. Anyways, we have a very special guest today. Do you want to introduce yourself? Yeah, it's her.
You know her. You love her. No. Audrey Ember.
Round of applause.
Chelsea, applause.
No. I'm going to leave.
I was going to say, just keep going.
No.
For an hour. Like 5 minutes.
How close do I have to be to this?
I think you have to eat it.
Yeah, you basically have to shove it.
You should lean back. More comfortable.
Lean back?
I'm going to fall off this chair if
what
I lean back.
What episode is this and we're somehow still really bad? Is that really how we...
Yeah. I mean, it's practice makes perfect. But we've been practicing being bad. Yeah. So.
How many episodes are you guys on?
38.
Wow.
I think we need to get to 100 before we can
be good.
Then there's no more excuses after
10,000 hours makes you a master. And if we've only done
10,000 episodes.
We barely have a day of experience.
That's for sure.
What a day.
Now it's like, what do we talk about next? You know, we got maybe good podcasts. Maybe they plan it out and we don't do that.
I think they probably have like questions and stuff for the guest ahead of time.
Okay. Oh yeah. I got a good question for you. What should we talk about?
There we go.
As you as a guest.
Nigel's curator.
what does that mean?
Nigel's curator.
Oh, no.
What does that mean? I don't speak French.
French.
Now, this is a... We can just move on.
No.
No, this is
just
a reference.
Just leave it at that one.
Yeah,
no.
Okay, whatever. What?
No, what? I'm the one who's supposed to say what.
What?
It's a reference to what we were talking before.
Oh, your butt.
It's saying my ass is on fire. My ass is not on fire for all...
No,
listeners.
Let's talk about Nigel's stomach problem.
Oh, my God,
that's a good segue.
About Nigel's stomach problem.
What was he going to order for breakfast?
Welcome.
I think Nigel's going to eat chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, that's just sheer laziness.
Wait, did we order food?
I did order food.
You know, McDonald's would have been here.
You can't say McDonald's. They don't sponsor us. They sponsor offline TV and all their adventures, but they don't sponsor us, so we're not allowed to talk about McDonald's.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that could change. I know that McDonald's watches this podcast.
If it changes, then you could say that I would be loving it. Is that still their jingle?
I would be loving it.
Yeah, I'm really tempted to say things that would make a corporate person like mad, but also that would ruin the chances of actually getting sponsored. Because if McDonald's came to us and said, "Do you want to be sponsored by McDonald's?" I would definitely say yes. I think that would be awesome.
I think this is more convincing. You're giving them marketing ideas.
Have we ever been sponsored?
Once.
By who?
Wait, how'd you guys not?
I don't remember.
No. Oh, no.
Wow. What? Money well spent for that sponsor, whoever they were.
Just put it over in like a robot voice.
I'm just trying to pay my bill. To be fair though, whenever I take a sponsorship, I do try my best to ensure that it is like, it feels like a good product.
Right.
So if I did ever endorse it,
I meant it.
Must have been.
It might have been a slight exaggeration, but I've never done a Raid Shadow Legends ad.
Right.
That's a great game.
I did one. Why are we talking about this? We'll have questions for you in a second. We do this every time.
Just completely ignore the guest.
No, this is great.
I met Audrey Ember at a party in Santa Monica, and little did I know that she is actually one of the most famous people you've never heard of.
Because Michael Superbacker followed me.
Mr. Beast follows you on Twitter.
Does he really?
So.
How does so what?
I like their response.
So, no big deal.
Yeah.
You have been at every single YouTube. I've go to.
I'm like a leech. I just show up. And
yeah,
don't
I
know
go
why.
To events like YouTube events where you feel like, oh, I must be special to get into this.
And Alan had
there.
What does that mean?
No, and Alan had to work really hard to get there
I'm
and like beg. And then he just shows up.
Well, yeah, you get invited on and then
wow.
immediately roasted. Yeah. Well, wait, it wasn't immediately roasted.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Continue, Alan.
Well, I think it's just, it's like, if you haven't heard of Audrey Ember, then you're a loser.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
You're just a loser.
I wanted
to don't
end to that
sentence.
The reason I asked you to come on is because I would like to know or talk about, because you basically helped make the Superbacker video.
Yeah.
For Alan. And I think it would be interesting to hear about what the experience was like trying
Chaos.
To deal with us.
Oh, outsider's perspective.
Oh, in general?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What
it
did you
fun.
Think of the overall process?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fun.
I don't really know what I expected. It was very, like, chaotic and random.
Was
it was
it
fun.
More cohesive or less cohesive than
Honestly,
you expected?
It was more cohesive
really?
Than I thought. I think that, like... That's just
you
shows
guys
how
exceeded
the bar
expectations.
That's insane to me that entire thing was more cohesive.
We are
I mean,
professionals.
Like how cohesive can it be?
Right, right.
Like what?
Yeah.
I think
I don't
that was
know.
An insult.
No, it's a backhanded compliment.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I'll take one.
But
of those.
I think you guys bounce off each other well.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's big.
Because you work with some other YouTube people. Are we the what? How would
Most
you
cohesive.
How would you rate us compared to the other?
I mean,
people?
I don't work with that many. I haven't worked with people shooting like that before.
Yeah.
It's so random. Plus, I'm losing. I'm not losing.
I'm losing clients. <She's>...
I'm not losing. They're ending.
They're leaving.
They're just going away.
You could call it a
help.
Downward
no.
spiral, if you will.
It's like Nathan Fee complaining that all the people he's helped have their businesses shut down. You're going out of business. Yeah, everyone's business is falling apart
for
after
some reason.
No, it's ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I do lots of random stuff.
Who gives you credit in the description of videos?
Everyone.
Okay, well, then we could talk
do
about
you
who
give,
you work for.
You credit,
I mean,
Alan?
Lewis.
You work for Lewis Weiss sometimes.
Yeah. And a dude called Bob the Canadian.
Bob the Canadian.
He makes English videos. He's awesome. I
Wait, about,
Bob.
Like, English? Like, how to speak it?
Mm-hmm. He's the most wholesome dude. He lives in the middle of nowhere in Canada, and he makes English lessons. And he has, like, a mill now.
He makes English lessons in English?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, trying to...
Teach English.
In English.
In English.
Yes.
But what if you don't speak English?
Well, it's like
well,
very it's like practicing
it.
English. I don't know. I worked for Epidemic doing random stuff.
Epidemic
and all that's
Sound?
Done. Yeah.
Like promotional stuff as well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Was that TikTok?
I did TikTok. I did an advertisement for them. And then I did what else? A music video recently.
Nice.
But that's all done now, so.
Are we allowed to say that you've done work for Discovery Channel? Are we can cut that out if we're not allowed to say that.
I don't know.
I think you can say
it. I think
you can. You can't say what it is.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
okay.
What's it like working for a giant television company?
Scary. I told the dude, like, I was like, before he hired me, because they wanted something cheaper.
Mm.
And I was like, I've never done this before. You do know that?
And they're like, yeah, well, yep. that's the price is right. Welcome
that
aboard.
Is actually terrifying. That is...
What?
That's a
no.
Thing.
It
mean,
is kind of. I don't want to say bad things. It's been great.
I'll say bad things. I say this
it's
as someone
great.
Who
I'm,
is
just...
about to be on a television show on Discovery no. Channel. They're just cheap.
Yeah.
Like like you would think that this giant company that like merged with Warner Brothers would have like this sort of like massive budget to just make things happen.
Well, they do. You just can't have any of it.
They're stingy.
Yeah.
Like they will not. And so that means like if they're editing a show, they're like, oh,
hire
let's see. How are we gonna bring the budget down on this?
I've never done this before.
I think, I don't know. Did we ever talk about this? Like the idea of like, you know, businesses are just like, this is like a, some, can I say bean counting? Is that, does that have any
I think
weird?
You can say bean counting.
I feel like someone's going to say that has some bad history.
You've already said it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
too
just going to say bean counting.
Yeah.
I'm going to say bean counting and I'm oblivious to any negative connotation that the phrase bean
but
counting
are you,
has.
It's the fact that you're aware.
Okay. Let me look it up.
What's a synonym for non-offensive synonym for bean? Rice. Rice counting. That's worse.
Okay, it's in Merriam-Webster, so
must
it's
be not okay. Offensive.
Financial. Well, maybe Merriam-Webster is somehow.
I mean, I'm sure there are racist words in the dictionary. No.
Yeah, I just feel any of these old, like, what would you call bean counting? Like, how would you describe, like, what
stingy.
Well,
that's also bad.
Stingy, but like, no, stingy's fine, I think. The word stingy. The idea of like every business is essentially bean counting, right? Because that's the whole point of a business is to make money. Yeah. And so like there's something really cursed about the creative industry because everybody sees the creative side of things, but it's completely like regulated by bean counting. And so it's essentially like, imagine there's no such thing as creativity. It's just someone with a spreadsheet looking at finances. And they're just like, okay, we have this much money to do this thing. So we're going to pay creative people this much money, but we're going to run out of money. So then we need to pay this person even less money. And so it's like the creative side essentially is just getting like strangled to death by people who are just trying to make money. But then everyone sees the creative side. They're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do art. I want to do this. And then you have like an entire like, you know, business sphere that's just like do it as quickly and cheaply as possible. And, you know, not really exploring like the art side of things.
Yeah, it's also TV though.
Yeah.
They're like running out of ideas.
They've been running out of ideas forever.
Like, I don't think that's mean to say. I think that's just a fact. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially for kind of like the science, educational, whatever you want to call it, space. It's like, I think more and more it's actually like kind of pulling ideas out of YouTube rather than the other way around. Mm-hmm. Once Mythbusters was done, that was the end. That was like it, because then it was like, oh, well, what do we do? Oh, well, let's look at these viral video clips online, and then like,
what if we do
hours.
Mythbusters again?
What if we did it again and again and again
and again and again? What if we make a show about making a new Mythbusters before we make a Mythbusters?
That's a good idea.
What if we do Mythbusters, but it's kids? You know what they do? They need Mythbusters, but with geriatrics.
Oh, Mythbusters Senior.
Yeah, I would actually, that's probably the only thing they could do in life.
I would get cable just for
that. Wow, you hearing this, Discovery? This is all free.
I know Discovery Channel himself watches this.
Mr. Discovery Channel.
Mr. Discovery.
Just like Justin Roiland for sure watches
this podcast,
right? Justin, if you're hearing this, then this is the official petition to get Nile Red.
Oh, no.
Because Nigel can't do these things. He's a little ball of social anxiety.
So
he can't do these things.
We were sent, I think somebody sent, I don't think, we'd never come across this stuff. It's always people sending us.
Right.
A picture of Justin Roiland, who's the creator of Rick and Morty, or I should say Doc and Marty.
He is Rick and Morty. A lot of people don't know that. He is Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it's really, it's the power of voice acting and television, movie magic. So yeah, it turns out that Rick
is
real.
Oh yeah,
it
was on the TV before. We turned it off for
no
copyright reasons.
But he was wearing a Nile Red shirt in a, was it Wired?
It was a Wired
interview.
And it was prominently too. It was like a prominent Nile Red logo.
Well, it's like my, because I have two t-shirts. One where it's like just a little logo, and then one that's like, looks like a giant like Superman thing.
Now he's just selling his merch. What a freaking gross.
Well, it's not even for sale,
man.
So you can't even buy it.
Whoa.
Wow, now it's exclusive. He's trying to hype it up.
Yeah, I'm preparing for the next drop.
He's trying to build like a supreme empire where everything is just, you got a brick with
Nile
Red.
No, we just did we did a run, I think, like 6 months ago, and then just haven't done anything. So that's why it's not available.
So I mean, but I mean, would you be a character, like a cameo on the show? Would you do that?
I will take anything that's given to me.
Oh, you heard it here first. Nigel will take it.
Yeah, anything. I will take anything.
Justin Roiland. Nile Red will take anything. Now's your chance.
This is so weird that you're just like, right? It's just like you guys are all.
How else is this going to happen, though? How else are we going to make this happen?
I think we might actually be making it worse.
You're definitely.
Just clip this and send it to him.
You guys are like, turn the podcast into like a personal message.
Okay, so have you talked to him at all? Does he actually watch your videos, or does he just like the logo? I don't know why
you're like, whoa, I don't know what Nile Red is, but this logo's sick.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sick logo. I'm going to get that. Honestly, like, I mean, sounds like something I would do. You just like the t-shirt, so you buy it, and then you're just like, oh, people think it means something.
Yeah. He definitely watches your stuff.
Well, I talk to him a bit. I just
where do you talk to him?
On Instagram.
Instagram. So he probably, if it's Instagram, he probably watches your YouTube videos. I say if it was TikTok, maybe not. But yeah. TikTok is kind of its own little bubble.
Yeah, TikTok's interesting.
But what are the secrets to TikTok? Why am I asking you this? You're the one. With the
What are the secrets? No, me and Nigel actually were discussing.
We're running out of time. You should ask him for secrets.
What about TikTok?
Yeah, he gets a bajillion views on TikTok.
Nigel has a formula for success, and we've wanted to test this to see if it actually works.
It doesn't so work,
or if it's just chemistry video.
It's just Nigel's channel. Nigel's the only one who can make it work.
So it's like basically the challenge was we're like. Okay, Nigel, like if you got this formula for success, could you do a video, a short form video on 3D printing? Because it's like inherently boring to just watch things be 3D printed. And we have an outline for one, actually. Involves a lot of penis jokes.
That does not sound like whatever formula he uses for the rest
of his. Nigel, like if you see his shorts, there's a lot of weird sexual stuff in there.
Can we talk about that one, that thirsty short with the ice cube that girl made?
Oh yeah, Audrey's going to help us with this as a resident woman guest on today's podcast.
Can't believe you agreed to come on to the podcast.
Me neither.
Because okay, there is a thing about women and hands. I've seen that.
Is this true?
Female gaze. It's very hand oriented.
Oh.
Yeah, as like the things that are if you have a movie or a video that is like sexy for women, it usually has a focus on like the man's hands.
So there's this TikTok.
Chelsea's making a face that's not a disagreement face.
I've never thought about like that, but I can when you're moving your hands, I'm interested. Oh.
Chelsea was looking at my hands.
No. Now I'm just going to stare all your
I'm
sick perv.
I have low.
Don't look
I'm
at our hands.
I'm being objectified.
I have low hands.
Don't look at Don't look at our hands. That's gross.
I think hands are scary, so I can't relate.
Why can't I?
You think hands are scary?
God, what's that one? I'm gonna say horror movie with a girl where she's deaf and she's locked in a house in the middle of nowhere.
Hush.
Yes, yeah. And she gets her hand squished in the door. And then her hands like all messed up. Ever since then, I hate hands. I can't do it.
You know that hands.
No, shouldn't you hate doors then? Yeah. Why do you hate
Why would you hate hands?
Because they looked like
yeah,
weird and like
symptom,
broken.
Not the problem.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, because they look like all squished and like.
Yeah, but yours are normal hands don't look like that.
I know, but it doesn't matter.
All right, here, let me tell you.
Let's look at this TikTok. I got it up now. I had to log into TikTok really quick. I had to remember my password.
You're giving a big shout out to this TikTok.
Nigel made, yes. They made like a perfectly round ice ball. And all this is, I'm just going to let you watch it, but I got to describe it for the viewers and the listeners. So he's like caressing this ice ball with his hand, kind of like slowly. And then the implication is I think that this girl is very, there's something about the way that he was like moving. Does that make sense? Do you understand why?
Is this arousing?
It doesn't make sense.
Just a flat no.
Show it to Chelsea.
Okay, Chelsea, does this make any sense?
Yeah, this kind of
hand
action.
So he's playing with his ice ball. He's like slowly kind of squishing it around in his hand.
What do you think, Chelsea?
It definitely is a little sexual.
What?
It's sexual.
No, it is. Okay, why though?
It's the silence.
It's a silence and it almost looks slimy, so it's giving. I'm not going to say anything else, but you.
Oh, no.
Nigel, what have you done?
It's because when I saw the video, I'm like, Kevin and I are like, we don't get it.
But it works. Nigel has no idea. But this is like. Subconscious chat.
Yeah. This is why you have so many simps.
You know what I did when I filmed that part? You know when you see those videos online of people who have like, they manipulate like the glass balls?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Contact juggling.
That's literally what I thought.
That's not what they're thinking.
No.
That's all I thought. I was like, oh, it's so cool. It's like those glass balls.
Wait, is this why people follow you on TikTok?
Apparently.
Nigel, out of everyone, has probably the craziest simps. Maybe really? Alex, I did a thing, but like Nigel
no,
and him
no,
are like.
No, no, no. It's Nigel.
No.
By far.
No, there's this something about case. Nigel. Okay, can we, can I, don't, this is, I'm just gonna say this. The simps that I see for Nigel that are the most aggressive, it's like they want to like dominate him.
Yeah.
Oh
like,
no.
There's this like Buck very Wild.
Yes, like there's that one.
Mm-hmm, that's my favorite yeah. one. My favorite.
I don't
one.
Even know how to describe that one.
Here, I can play the Alan. TikTok into the microphone.
I love feeding into this too. The fact that they know that
it's
we've
get
seen
worse
these.
Now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nigel, just be aware, Simps, that Nigel has seen all of your thirsty TikToks
and if you make
more
of them,
don't do that. Now they're
going to
do it more.
Alan seeks them out.
We send them to him.
They seek them out.
It's in your favorites?
Wait, no. Yeah. Wait. I just realized, Bikes, if you guys are all searching me up constantly on TikTok, you guys are part of that simp
army. We are.
You guys
army.
Are
we are.
It in the army.
Are you in the Now Red Simp Army?
No, sorry.
You should
damn.
Be.
Damn. Are you Chelsea? No. Damn. Are you Ian?
Yes.
Yes.
Stick. Like foaming at the mouth, rabies, give me a rabies shot, barrel for the stick.
What?
I would go buck wild. Just so we're clear, I would go feral for the stick.
Like, and it's pictures of him. It's
what?
Him.
Shot,
yeah.
The stick. I would go buck wild.
Buck wild.
Nigel, 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 Nigel,
yeah, this
Nigel, Nigel.
They're gonna be so happy about their shout out or so embarrassed, I don't know.
Oh well, no. let's make sure that they for sure know it is at Gene Gene on TikTok.
It's
the ultimate
worse.
Nigel Nile Red Simp.
We have to give credit.
Yeah, we have
just
to.
Just put
we
it
have
in
to.
Big letters.
Link it in the description.
No.
But I liked it and I commented on it. So
you did.
They know.
That is true.
I love how aggressive it is. Like I have never seen there's nobody else I know.
Who would you simp for on TikTok? If anyone.
I don't watch people.
Come on, give us some interesting answers.
Answer this very invasive and inappropriate question, Audrey.
If you don't answer this quickly and perfectly, you're kicked off the podcast.
Yeah.
Caesar Milan.
Yes.
Caesar Milan. Yes.
Just because we brought him up yesterday.
Dog Whisperer.
Wow, that's
yes.
A top out.
Do we have a contact for Caesar Milan by any chance?
Sure, we could find him.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the contact attempt right now.
I know
right
he
now.
Watches.
Yeah,
podcast.
Caesar. We know you listen to this podcast. So right now, Alan Pan wants you to be in a video
Who's
about snakes.
Just
that's
clip
me.
It and tweet okay. it at him.
So we need your dog expertise way. For a video about giving snakes their legs back.
What could he possibly be doing right now?
He's a YouTuber
channel.
Now.
Oh, he totally would do
he
it.
He has like 2.5 million yeah. subscribers. He has more subscribers than I do.
Okay, then he has
perfect.
No, there's no chance.
No,
he's going to reject your collab offer.
Yeah.
Gets rejected by
Caesar.
Just
because it's like, it's literally the cameo would be like 1 second long. The idea
you
is.
Alan, you can't say the whole idea.
Why not?
If he's watching it.
What? No, this is the perfect pitch. So the idea is that, like, I want to figure out the psychology of snakes. So it's like, so I found an animal psychologist, and it cuts to him, Caesar Milan. And I just asked him, like, so do you think snakes want their legs back? And then his response is essentially just something along the lines of, like,
think.
Like, do snakes think? And it's just, I just really do dogs, man. And it just cuts away. That's the entire camera.
You're turning the snake into
a
dog.
Turning snakes back into dogs.
I'm excited for this video. Alan showed us a clip of a snake walking, and by God. You know what? I was talking to, you know, Ian about it, because we've sort of been working on videos, trying to do more uh-huh. stuff for our channel. So we're like, you know, just always talking about YouTube. And I think that video of teaching it or giving a snake its legs back is a video that would have done obscenely well. Like, if you, a video like that 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
would have been like mega viral.
I think it could still
just
have
clip
some
on
legs.
Its own.
I think.
No, nowadays, trash.
But I think
10 years
I
ago.
I think that, like, mega I just, viral. I have this sort of concern that people nowadays just don't maybe. Get I don't know I feel like it's I don't know I'm really curious to see what happens because I feel like it might not be appropriately appreciated.
I think the snake meta is strong.
Is it?
Days. I think snake meta is where it's at now.
Who else is in the meta?
Just me.
You have one other case study. The last video you made.
That one did okay. So
Snakehead did all right, and so now I think it's snake meta. I think so.
I think it'll do well.
I really hope that it does well. I really yeah. hope it does extremely well.
I mean, Will did a mock-up for the thumbnail. I think it's... I would click on it. It looks crazy.
It
it's a snake with robot legs.
If it makes you feel better, Alan, if it doesn't do well, I'll promote it. like,
thank you.
With money. Like, just pay you. You Google it. I'll just pay
it. Like, you know, I'm going to one-up Nigel. If it doesn't do well, I will tell you that I really like it. Yeah. I think that it's very good. Like, I will
send it to all of my friends and family.
Actually, yeah. Wait, how much money would it actually take if we found, like, some random, like, small YouTuber and just, like, pumped the crap out of one of their videos? Like, ran it as an ad. Are you allowed to do that?
You can, I think, but it's actually kind of, like, mean. Because then you could get them to, like, 1 million views. Uh-huh. But they'll have, like...
No one 50 will
comments.
Yeah.
And it just looks horrible. And huh. So I think it actually messes up your future ad rates.
So it's more of a bad thing to do to someone.
So if you have a lot of money, maybe you could like destroy.
Yeah, who do we not like? Could we actually ruin their channel?
But then ironically, all they needed was that exposure yeah, and their channel just takes off. And like, oh. And then they're always in your debt. They're really thankful to you, and you're like, oh my god.
There was the dinosaur kid.
Oh right.
So the dinosaur kid.
Yeah, on Reddit there was a kid who was just uploading.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
The guy who posted that poked my nose.
Oh my god, Chelsea!
That was awesome.
What are you doing? You're like running around like a monkey in front of the cameras.
So this guy that had a little bit of success on YouTube when I was in college. His channel was Jewel Thief. His name was Alex. I kind of helped him with some stuff.
Mm.
And I was trying to do my own YouTube thing. And he posted that dinosaur kid to Reddit.
Oh, he was the one who
actually posted it.
Made dinosaur kid famous.
Yes, I'm certain. I'm like 90% certain. Mm. I could be wrong. I'm pretty confident though that it was him who posted it.
Okay.
Because it was a long time ago. The kid's channel got like an obscene amount of attention on YouTube.
I remember this,
and it's just like a kid. It's like this little kid who's just like making videos about like toy dinosaurs. And then everyone sort of was like, yeah, let's like dinosaur kid. But then the problem was that Dinosaur Kid didn't actually make good videos, and it was sort of more of me supporting him. And it's like, it's wholesome, we're supporting Dinosaur Kid, but it's actually people just like kind of lighting something on fire in the most wholesome way possible. Yeah.
Like a lot of people subbed and everything, but it was just like...
And then the kid has a video on the channel where he's like kind of falling apart because he's like, everyone subscribe, but like no one's watching the video.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
That's why like I tell people, anytime anyone has like talked about doing YouTube videos, which they always do, they're like, oh, I want to, you know, do this and that and blah. And it's like, I will never like... promote someone or work with somebody unless they are like actively working on something because it is you do not want a bunch of attention until you've figured out how to do it.
That's why shoutouts are bad.
Shoutouts are really bad. It's like you do not, like I said, I avoid even like tagging personal friends and stuff like on Instagram because like you do not want that much attention if you're not sort of like prepared or understand the work required to like maintain it, because it just every time it happens it just sort of it goes badly and it kind of sucks.
It also depends like who's giving the shout out, because it's like, for example, if like Jimmy Mr. Beast gives you a shout out a lot, like
he gave his brother a shout out, remember that whole thing?
Yeah, actually it's just like it's every he'll be able to mobilize a lot of people, but then it's like they get there and they're like, hey, I'm not that into this content, so your sub count goes to like 2 million. But then you get like maybe a few percent, like several percent who stay. And it just feels bad because you're just like, I mean, when he pumped it, you're getting like 2 mil a video. Yeah. And then it goes down to like 50K and now you just feel like a failure. But the reality is you were getting, let's say, 1K before. You're 50 times better, but it just kind of feels bad. You have like 2 million subs. You're getting
feels
no
like
views.
You did something right and then now you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
It's like, what am I doing differently?
You're still better off technically, but like by the metrics, you are failing. And you're like, comparing to how you were doing it, like,
you
know,
momentarily. And
you
can't really fix it because they just don't care about you.
No, it's like...
Unless you like really make awesome stuff immediately, but like...
But that's why it's bad to get attention before you figure out how to make content that people watch. How do you feel when you edit something for somebody and it does poorly? Because it's not like, because
I don't look.
You don't look? Because
that's the method. So
like a lot of people assume like when John and I were making videos together, which we don't do anymore.
Cameraman John,
he was filming and I was editing, but everybody just assumed that John edited. But it's like I'm not even a YouTuber, I'm just an editor, actually, honestly. Like every time, like what's that six panel meme where it's like what my parents think I do, what society thinks I do, what I actually do. It's like I'm
sitting in front of the computer.
Yeah, literally, I'm literally just an editor. Like that's my, like,
you know, I feel the same way.
The bread and butter. Yeah. Like, that's, if I had to quit being, like, you know, like doing YouTube, I would just edit.
Mm-hmm. And your life would be very similar.
Do you still not have anyone helping?
No, we have, there's a much healthier pipeline now. There's something about having to do, like, being the person who's, like, you know, on camera and also setting a camera up and then editing and also figuring out how to make that narrative make sense and be cohesive, like a good story, that when it does poorly, it feels really bad because it's like you did the whole thing yourself. And so I'm curious of like, if you're just the editor.
Put the blame
on. Yeah, exactly. It's like, who am I going to blame? And it's like the guy who did literally every piece of this video. And so when you like edit, how do you feel, like how do you split that kind of feeling up with the person?
I don't think it's 50-50 because it is still their video, right? So like I'm putting my own touch on it, but it's going through like a filter. So I don't take it personally.
Yeah. Except if it does really well. If the video does really well, then it's all you.
I am the best editor there is.
No, but there is like a filter. So it's like, it's not really my video. Like,
yeah, because you're obviously restricted.
I'm almost pretending to be somebody else, you know?
Huh. Yeah.
So you almost—it's almost like you're acting through editing.
And maybe that's bad. I don't know.
No, I think like I used to describe it as like putting my editing hat on versus my like filming hat, and it's like you learn a lot because you get mad at yourself in the past. Like your editor hat, you gets mad at you on camera hat. You were like, why didn't I say this thing, or why did I stop filming that, or why did I like that was something I always had problems with John, where I'd be like any situation where it would get uncomfortable, like if we were doing something in public, he did not like he does not do well in those situations.
Oh, so he would like shy away.
He would shy away, and it's like no, like when you're editing, it's like, oh my god, like this is hilarious. Like stuff that feels like kind of cringe in real life because you're violating social norms actually ends up being like really funny on camera.
Yeah.
And so every time, like it's a little bit in the car video too, and I'm like, ah, John, you know, like because we're at the car dealer talking to these people, and we didn't like plan anything. We just like went there and showed up. It almost looks like we had like planned with them though, because these guys are just like kind of perfect like used car dealers. Yeah. We was like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Wait, what did you show up with?
Half a car.
Nice.
Maybe two-thirds of a car.
It's 50% off.
Yeah, exactly.
Superior car.
And there's a shot where it's like he's talking to me, but he's like right on the edge of the frame and I'm right in the center. It's kind of like you can see John was trying to shy away from me. And so it's like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff you learn sort of doing everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you definitely, I feel like everyone probably learns ways to sort of like adjust the ways they talk when the camera's on, just to make it easier to edit later.
Yeah.
You learn. Okay, so it's like every sentence starts with
I was gonna say the thing that I learned is like if you mess something up, you don't look away from the camera because
did you just start the sentence with so?
Did I?
I think you did.
Did you?
He said if. No.
Either way, I don't know.
That's good. Yeah. So and all right will it's just the death of dialogue is when you're editing, you notice that every single sentence that you get into. So what we've got here. All right, let's get started. So this is here. All right, let's try it.
There's like, this thing Jabril does too that I like. I think I give him shit for. I'm like, don't tell me what you're going to do.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, though, with the looking. Because there are a lot of times where I've had to be like I got to, like, cover that with B-roll. Where it's like, if you restart, but you don't realize that, you've, like, you start the sentence kind of over here, and you look back at the camera, and you realize, like, oh, my God, that looks like shit.
Well, I was saying, like, simple things, for example, I mean, this is what I learned, is, like, if you're talking to the camera, like, we're going to be, I mean, not, we'll just, like, rage that. But if you're just, I'm just making a sentence. He's like, we're going to be doing this, and you're like, let's get started. You kind of, like, pause a bit, because what's weird is in editing, if you look away right away, the frame ends too quickly.
Yeah.
So you end up have like the frame kind of ends the moment you stop speaking and you're screwed. So you have to either learn to like, you just keep looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly.
With the, just the deadness and in your
also,
eyes.
Yeah, you also get, that way. If you also get lost in what you're saying, you don't look away from the camera.
Does it? Like,
I'm scared for them.
Yes, Nigel, continue talking and then hold on to you for a little bit and then switch to him.
I'm going to keep looking at this camera, just staring into it. It makes editing easier later for this podcast.
He needs to be more dead good. In the eyes. Yeah, that's more like it. That's a good frame to cut off of.
And then you have to look really sad right after.
Yeah.
Can you make a tear come out? Are you good?
I try, but I usually fart when I try.
hard do I just squeeze with tears to go out?
I've always wanted to, you know how sometimes, like a couple of years ago, the big thing was to, like, kind of, like, burp to get into a scene?
What? What?
You know, you would like, yeah. I always wanted to do that, but just
I've
fart.
Never heard
just
of that.
Fucking like fart and then
never,
start talking.
I never heard of that.
I definitely used to. I think I remember getting a comment that said stop with burp. Like, because I would just burp.
Oh, that's a.
I wasn't burping into a shot. It would be like if I just had to burp.
You'd
I'd
just be in the middle of a scene.
Yeah, in the middle of
a scene. Well, the burp was very versatile. You could use it to get into a scene. You could use it to, like, stop a musical montage.
You can
like,
transition halfway through with, like,
oh, that's
to another
what you're
one.
Saying.
Yeah. Like, the burp was, but then it got kind of overused. I think people don't really go for burps anymore, but I want to try doing it with farts.
Yeah. Make farts anyway.
Bring in farts as, like, the pace setter for the video.
Do you ever give shit to the creator that you're working
yes.
with? Where you're just like, what are you doing? Like, what did you
do? She just says yes before the question's even done. Yeah. Just yes.
Because it's like, I give myself shit, or it's like, why didn't I do this, or blah, blah, blah. Like, it used to be worse. Like, more stuff that I've done now is more just like, I can, like, redo it. And so if I do something I don't like... I mean,
I do that regardless if it's me or if it's someone else.
Yeah.
I'll just, like, be like, why?
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 Why? Or, like,
why?
This was
it,
shot
why
badly.
Did you or why did you not? What is the most common? Like, do
just
people
why?
Over... Oh, just why in general?
Sometimes if it's, like, overexposed, I'll be like, really? Again?
Do you find that over time when you make those complaints that...
Yeah, it works.
Fixed? Okay.
No, it's constructive criticism. I'm not just like roasting them.
No, I'm saying it'd be very frustrating when you say it and then the same thing comes back the next time. That's when that's another why. You're
I'm
just
still
like,
trying to convince Lewis to get an ND filter.
Yeah.
Ooh, did you just give away one of your clients?
It's not working.
But why? Yeah. Why do you want him to get an ND filter?
To not overexpose.
To not crank the shutter instead.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
High shutter speeds.
I shoot everything with a polarizer, which is kind of annoying, but.
But it's nice.
The problem with a polarizer is if you shoot plastic, it gets rainbowy. So you have
cool.
to be.
It's a special effect.
Yeah. You have to be careful to like. You have to take it on and off if I'm shooting plastic or glass. Sorry.
Yeah, rainbow doors. Yeah, I just get bad footage. That's just my solution. It's just not having good footage.
You could. No, I mean, feel like people in this niche just kind of do that. So
I think there's something about like having really like kind of like shitty production though that
it makes
does
it authentic.
Help with you. Yeah, it's more authentic. Like we did.
It's bad, but the badness also makes it good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's like
it can't just
there's
be
a very
bad.
Fine line.
Like, I have been doing all my green screen with a bed sheet in the garage.
But it adds character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
I'm
like
I'm gonna borrow this one day. And
I just they're there.
And
forever.
I'm like, what am I gonna go get an actual that. Green screen? It's like. No,
I mean, you could also get a bed sheet from the store and not...
I bought more sheets.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
No, but it's like, that's now my green screen is this like turquoise bed sheet and it does a good enough job of isolating me, but it also looks like shit, which is funny.
Because like, I think that it works because green screen, either if you do a really good job, it's great, but anything below that is kind of bad. So if you just embrace it and just make it like you're aware it's bad, then it's just...
If you embrace it, no one can get mad at you.
Exactly.
People that do like film and photography tend to like do this like scope creep where they're like, oh, better equipment or better this or better that. Or like, I got a green screen, but now I need lights to light it.
Yeah, so I'm saying like getting it good is so hard.
Right, but it doesn't do anything. And it's like YouTube is sort of about a person doing a thing.
Yeah.
And part of that like subconsciously comes like stems from the video. And if everything looks perfect, it almost looks like you were trying too hard.
Mm-hmm. I mean... I feel like I used to get comments like that where people were like, was this shot in the wrong frame rate? I'm like, how can you tell?
Right.
I'm like three off.
You don't want that audience. You don't want an audience.
You know what you
shit about your frame rate.
You do the next video you do after that and you shoot it in like 10 frames a second.
It's like security cam footage.
Just to make it worse.
The iPhone or at least one version of the OS had a video format that would change the freaking frame rate.
Oh, variable frame rate.
Yes.
Ugh.
Wait, well, it would be interesting. Can you just for a video, film it in 30 or film it in 60 or 120, be actually good, but then render it in 10 and then use like the one of the algorithms.
Oh, the frame interpolation
to bring it up to 60 and just have just the whole video.
So
just everything's
just
kind
wrong.
Of messed up.
It just looks wrong.
I feel like you could train a neural network that way.
It's like everything's just kind of glitchy and artifact.
I think you could. I think you should actually do a video like making fun of like that frame rate comment. I think you should find it and actually be like, okay, well, you know what? You're right. Let's get as many frames in here as we can and just frame interpolate it all the way up.
10,000.
What's the max frame rate YouTube can have? 60?
I don't know.
No, you can do like 120, I think. Yeah.
No, you can do more. I don't think they care.
I think they theoretically don't have a. I think Bernard was saying they don't really have a max. They do have a, they must have a max res.
Yeah, I mean, how does the
it just doesn't show up? But like, you can still.
Because I think
we all pause and
like TV. I kind of talk about TV more. Like, the, it's funny. Like, Caesar Milan now has fallen down to our level.
Yeah, so.
all of them have. Like, all of the
Or have they just finally made it? No, they're up to our level.
They're losers like the rest of us. Because nobody respects YouTube. Everyone respects TV.
But I feel like it's changing. I feel like things are changing.
I wonder if they're making more money. I mean,
if you go by ads, they probably are. It's not changing.
No, but I feel like I mean, when did Alan's been around YouTube for a while. Like, when I started in 2014, it was embarrassing to tell people you did YouTube.
Yeah, it still
like
is.
People. No, but
it's even more embarrassing. It's like,
not only embarrassing, but it's also cringe.
Yeah, it's less embarrassing when it's a hobby. It's way more embarrassing when it's your full time job.
When I told people that I did that, I posted stuff on YouTube. It's like they actually made fun of me.
And well, we still
dude,
do.
I made videos in high school. It was awful.
No, but people would be like, "Oh, you post things to the internet? That's cool, I guess." And like, people would go out of their way to. It's not insulting. It's like super condescending. And then I find there was a tipping point where it was like, you would tell people to do YouTube, and they're like, "Oh, I want to do that too. Can you help me?" Like,
yeah.
It was. There was this point in which it was like cool.
I bet you, if you talk to people and you told them about editing for YouTuber versus editing for Discovery, they'd be more impressed by the Discovery thing. Even though the YouTube stuff is probably more impressive.
That, like, I know my parents, like, whenever they bring up Discovery, like, other adults are like, oh.
Old people suck.
But
Do old people love Mr. Beast?
Really?
He was on Forbes, and now I think he's like.
Oh.
Oh, I see, I see. Okay, okay.
But I just want to say, I think there is, like, maybe with the older generation, they respect, you know, the classic institutions.
It just makes more sense.
But I feel like people ought, like, between, like, I'd say, like, anyone below the age of, like, 40, probably, or 35. I don't know, my perspective, if I heard someone work for Discovery, I would be like, oh, you have a job. And then it's like, oh, you were an editor for, like, a YouTuber? I'd be like, oh, you...
You're unemployed.
No, I'd be like, I would be like, oh, you have, like, a cool, like, life opportunity, potentially. I mean, some editing jobs for YouTubers is objectively way worse than any... like institutional job or like any company job. But I feel like I think it has changed. Like, I don't know, do you feel at all that way? No? Like, the opinion that people have, they think Discovery is always cooler.
I think with people like younger, they'll be like, who? And if they don't know them, then they don't care.
So that's a good point. Is that TV stems from YouTube now, where like everything they do is based on YouTube footage. Like, when they make sizzle reels and stuff, it's all from YouTube. So they're like pulling stuff from YouTube, they're taking ideas from other people. Like 100%, like Kevin was the first person to do that rat trap, the glue trap, right?
And then that was on Mythbusters Jr.
Everybody else copied it. And it's like oh, TV is more respectable while also literally having no or very few original ideas.
Also, like, who watches? Like, they're repurposing YouTube videos, but for old people. Yeah. Like, it doesn't... It's like, why?
Because there's money in there.
I know, you can take old people not like YouTube videos? So then why are they, like, repurposing?
Well, they're not even on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even know they don't like
it. They don't know they don't like it.
Fundamentally, that means it's good content. It's just not packaged in a way that's consumable by boomers.
My dad just... My parents just watch a lot of YouTube.
My dad will watch it with his, like, you know, half a megabit per second down internet. He's like, I had this 120p. Price for 15. They haven't changed the price. I'll pay for the slowest one because it's only $15 a month. And it's like, how much is your time worth sitting waiting for stuff to load and buffer?
It's kind of wild. Like, I mean, sorry, just on the internet thing. My grandma, I remember once, they were trying to sell her on, it was like, like $20 a month for like borderline dial-up speed. And what she had was $30 a month for high speed.
Right.
It was like, she was getting, let's say, like, 15 megabits a second, which isn't great, but it's like they were trying to downgrade her to like 2 or 1.
Why would they do that? I feel like
but they were like, you can save $5 a month,
but the bandwidth is basically free. It seems like they would want to have you on the most expensive plan possible.
I don't know, but I think they did convince her and she downgraded, and then we had to like, oh no, sorry, it's because the plan that she was on, this is where the scam comes in. They had she had it for a while, so she was getting a better deal than was currently available. But if they downgrade her, she has to upgrade to a more expensive one.
They can kick her off the like legacy plan.
Yeah, when her family's inevitably like, that's horrible, and they go, "Sorry, that plan wasn't available anymore."
Sorry, they say sorry so weird.
Sorry,
Well, I was mimicking them.
Oh, you're mocking. You're mocking your grandma.
You don't normally.
No, I'm saying I was mocking the telecom company. Okay. Yeah.
We're sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Basically that.
They do that every time.
Did you make... I've been making videos for like forever. Same. Did you make videos like
in forever?
That's the bizarre thing to me is that like you're much younger than all of us put together.
Yeah.
But that's bizarre. Together. But you've been doing videos since you were like in high school.
A fetus.
I've been doing videos. Wait, how old are you?
23.
Okay. You were probably in elementary school.
Do you remember 9/11?
I was 2.
So do you remember it? Nope. She doesn't remember 9/11.
I started making videos in like really bad ones in middle school, like only a couple. And I started really making videos in high school. Like when did you start? Did you start in middle school?
I mean, I didn't post anything in middle school, but I was made making videos. Stuff.
What about elementary school?
I don't think I had access to a camera.
But in middle school, you did.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking like when YouTube was sort of really starting, I was in high school.
Yeah.
And so I started making videos. Because there was like Flash as well, so I like made some animations and stuff, and then started making videos. And I'm thinking to myself that like I started in high school, but somebody in middle school at the same time probably also would have started, and then they have like a huge sort of like lead because they're starting even younger. Like it's kind of weird where it's like I didn't start younger because there was nothing to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it started wasn't 2006?
2005? No, it's 6. I think. What? I think it's officially.
I think it's 5, 6, kind of.
But the we were also had like it wasn't just that YouTube didn't exist. It's that like technologically that it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I got my. I think when I was 15 or 16, so that was like 2006 or 2007. I bought a video camera. And it's like before that, you didn't have a cell phone to take video. No. Like there wasn't, or you could. I remember my friend had the first cell phone that took a video, but it was straight up 120p. But like I bought a camera that did 480p.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, I can actually like videotape stuff.
Mm-hmm. I used to make videos on my laptop, like webcam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
That was the first videos I ever made were stop motion videos.
I did that too.
Of my Beast Wars figure. Yes. What? Beast Wars. Yeah, they're like Transformers for animals.
Yeah.
Oh, and I uploaded one onto YouTube, I think around 2005, 2006. I got like 30,000 views.
What?
But it was on my friend's account and he deleted it later. No. So that video no longer exists. But it's like, it's just trash. And
What did you record it on?
A webcam. A webcam and like some special software that I got where you could just stitch together like individual shots into a video.
I would like record on my DV camera for like, I'd record and
stuff. Oh, you would actually
I think it might have had like a single frame.
I think I did that too.
Yeah.
I
have all the tapes. I should
your old stop motion videos.
I should capture all that stuff. That would be hilarious.
Because I did claymation as well. And I think I connected the camera with like the three like the red, yellow, and white wires.
It's like the Nintendo 64 plugs.
Which plug? Oh yeah, plugs, like the red, razors and stuff.
The RCA. Plugs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's RCA. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember I think I did do that. My dad had something that you could like, because I made claymations and I'm pretty sure we used the home like my dad's video camera, which was all tape.
Did everyone here at one point make stop motion videos?
I think I did with my brother.
I didn't
sure.
have a stop motion phase.
You did?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No. You should start it.
Start now.
I made stick animations, too.
That means that she was passage? Just, like, a little bit, like, too late for, like, the claymation stuff. Because, like, that was really popular.
That was it.
Early internet.
Oh, and the stick animations.
Do you remember, like, who was it that, remember those, the claymation, I don't even remember, was it on Newgrounds of, like, the little blue
yes,
people?
Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
The little blue
guys.
Clay people.
Yeah.
That was huge back in the day.
What?
What happened to the little blue people?
They must have dried up by now. That's like a decade old.
They're not relevant
when
anymore.
When you're watching an old movie with it, like, we're watching Air Bud, and you're like, wow, that dog definitely died like 10 years ago at least.
Well, all 10 of the dogs.
Don't say that.
Do you know that when they had the dog doing stunts, it would die every time? No. There's a whole line of dogs in the behind the scenes.
They're lined
like
up.
What's the Hugh Jackman movie?
The what?
The Hugh Jackman movie where he's Prestige. Like the Prestige. Prestige.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but with dogs.
But with dogs.
Tanks and tanks full of dead dogs in the backstage of Air Bud.
Yeah, Air Bud was a catastrophe.
Well, he was elemental
that dog died probably 20 years. That dog has been dead for over 20 years.
Yeah, dog's not just dead. It's like giga dead.
Do you think do you think they cremated it? Do you think it's buried somewhere? Do you think the bones are still there?
They stuffed it and stuck it inside of the Warner Brothers Museum.
It's part of the,
what's it called when they stuff it with like
back on tour? It's
taxidermy.
The taxidermy Air Bud. Oh yeah, mid like jump to get to a basketball.
No.
They didn't pay enough though, and it's kind of a little weird. No.
They have my other cars. They're sticky.
That should be a stuff made here video, like a robot Airbud that will always assist you a basketball into the hoop.
You're giving him stuff. That's a good idea,
Shane. If you're watching this
podcast, I know he absolutely watches this podcast.
Everybody watches this podcast.
It's a taxidermied robot dog. You throw it a basketball, it always hits it into the hoop with its nose.
Yes. If you don't do this,
nobody will.
Cyberbully people who are doing videos for us. That would be great to watch, so you should do it.
Yeah, I want to see it. But I only want to see it if you do it. Yeah, I think that, like, YouTube is so much better than TV. Like, are there old TV shows that you used to watch that you, like, looked back on later?
I didn't watch any TV in... at all.
Yeah, also, what is an old TV show for her? Would be something from like,
from 2015.
Oh, yeah, that really old show, How I Met Your Mother.
Because you would have been like 6 when YouTube kind of started.
Oh my God.
What?
A whole different generation.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you didn't miss out on anything. Eight. TV, it's insane to think that on TV, it is totally normal and accepted for a 30-minute episode to be 21, 22 minutes of content.
Yes.
And then 8 to 9 minutes of commercials. If that happened,
it's literally
on
more than
YouTube,
a third,
people, they would come and find us and kill us.
Yeah, they would actually eat our guts.
Well, I was going to say,
kill us and eat us.
I was going to say, that's the problem with Kevin's video. They saw it, they go, we love it. There's not enough ads. So they're like, how do we build ads into this?
How do we make more than a third of this into ads?
I think that's what frustrates me the most. Is like, I feel like the videos that I have to make now on YouTube have to be like focused and faster to get to the point and like to deliver on the expectation that people had coming into it, where it's like, if you don't immediately start satisfying the viewer, you get punished. Like, the video will not get pushed out to a generic audience, which means you're not going to get any views and subscribers don't really mean anything. But on TV, it's like the exact opposite. It's like, how do we make it as slow as possible? And then we fill it up with ads. Like, YouTube is like, you only get a couple ads and you have to be as fast as possible. It's like the crack cocaine of I actually don't know the difference between.
This is a great
comparison. It's like the methamphetamine to slow release Adderall. It's like the hard drug is what I'm trying to say.
I've only had one of those two things, so I don't know
the
how
math?
To compare that. Actually, yeah. It was a science study. I was a lab rat.
Wait, actually?
Oh, yeah. I've heard this story.
You got meth?
Yeah, well, it was
medical
it was,
grade.
Yeah, it was just
medical grade. Oh,
amphetamine.
Yeah.
In a laboratory environment.
Yeah, so it was the study.
That's still badass.
The study was to see sort of. Actually, I don't really remember.
Alan sold his body.
Alan sold his body
to science long before he died. It was an addiction study. So basically, they gave us amphetamines, put us in a hospital bed, and just like gave us surveys every like 30 minutes
to see if you got addicted.
Ask us how much we were enjoying what we were on, and they didn't tell us what we were taking. But I remember they said we were in a hospital bed.
Are you sure it wasn't the placebo?
No, they disclose after. They're like, yeah, we gave you amphetamines.
Oh.
Which I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
See you guys later.
Because they were just looking for how you felt, the sort of activity, they had an activity where you would just, they gave you a laptop and you just had to watch Planet Earth for like 6 hours.
Okay.
And I just remember I could not concentrate on anything. Like, I physically just could not watch Planet Earth. And instead, it was so bad because they let us keep our cell phones. I just started like meth texting one of my exes. It was really, really bad.
Meth texting.
Yeah, it was. I was just texting just the most bizarre misspelled like every 2 seconds. It was bad.
Yeah, she'll know what I'm saying. I don't gotta correct it.
So the only way I've come up to describe it is it's like my entire like emotional capacity as a human entity was replaced with the word go. So I was just, what am I doing? I gotta tell this. Oh, Planet Earth, I don't know what's going on. Oh, there's a survey. I gotta do the survey. It was like that for an entire day. And then at the end, they're like, yeah, we gave you amphetamines.
So like, I got all my work done, but it was done so poorly that I had to do it again.
I organized my whole house. And
then, anyways, there's a pile of car radios I pulled out of.
Wait, the study was how many car radios can you pull out of a junkyard?
No, they don't even think you're a joker. They just like, they tell you to just go out on the street that the clinic is on.
This is like a grad. He was like, wait, I got a great idea for a side business. Let's get people on meth and just get him to get his car radios and we'll sell them.
If we could do videos that we can't do, I would definitely do who can take car radios out faster. People on meth or not on meth.
The question everyone wants to know.
Yeah, have you ever taken drugs? Have I
ever taken meth?
All I could think about was that. I'm like, yes, we get to ask Audrey if he's ever done drugs.
What's the hardest drug you've ever done, Audrey?
And how many times have you done it? Are you on any drugs right now?
Yeah, no. I'm just gonna get canceled on this podcast.
That's the entire point of this podcast. Okay. Yeah. That's the entire point.
The answer is no, right?
Huge catalog of things people can come back and see. Look at they said that one thing.
Nigel's on the most drugs. I'm on a lot right now.
Well, you get it because you can make your own.
I mean, caffeine. I had some.
There you go. You on the caffeine, Audrey?
I don't like coffee.
The taste?
I hate coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
I like tea too.
How do you edit that?
I just don't sleep.
Interesting.
These are interesting. Taking notes.
I feel like
I should try meth for editing.
Yeah. That would remember the old drug video of like the spider on different drugs? You should
I know exactly what
video. Yes, different drugs, edit a clip like five times on five different drugs. There's a video.
That's a good video.
There's a video.
YouTube does.
I feel like they'd all be bad except for the sober one. They'd all be bad in their own way.
They get progressively better.
Can you imagine like being on Quaaludes and just like trying to edit something, anything, while you're like,
you're just not even looking at the screen.
Yeah,
just on the floor.
You're like, okay. So, anyways, this is when I took Quaaludes. There's nothing to show though, because it's just 5 minutes of black. So we're gonna skip that one.
Has anyone edited like on like a lot of acid? Because like you wouldn't even be like. There's no way your cut anything would be accurate, right?
I bet that most of the content that was on Adult Swim
was just all on drugs. Yeah.
That was probably like something they had to do in order.
I have to edit. I'm gonna do the acid.
They do a drug test on you every week to make sure you're on drugs. You have to check at least 3 boxes and you're fired.
Whoa, buddy, you're looking a little low here.
A little dry. Yeah. What's going on?
The guy's trying to cheat by like eating more poppy seeds.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on our podcast.
I learned so much.
I'm so glad to hear that. And
like what meth is like.
Yep.
Just, well, the word go.
They didn't say it was meth. They just said amphetamine.
They did just say amphetamine.
That could mean one of many things, but it probably was meth.
Yeah. I mean, they just straight up said amphetamine, so I just assumed that the meth was the prefix there.
And then it just ends.
Nice. That's just how it ends.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.